Oh, good morning, Roo. A brand new week. How was your weekend?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks.
You were batching, weren't you?
I was batching. I didn't know what to do with
you
myself.
You managed to feed yourself and get yourself to bed.
A few basic Australian meals in the kitchen. Didn't venture out too much. Just a bit of cricket, a bit of batching and a bit of horse racing and... That was it. What about you? How'd you go in Sydney?
Horse racing. That's controversial to say that. Mm. Are we allowed to enjoy horse racing ever again?
Well, if we do it properly, I think, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, maybe. That's a good point. We'll talk about that a little bit later on this morning.
Yeah, we got Limo coming on for a laugh. Peter Ford's going to join us Monday. Talk back. The Angels. We've got Ruba for $5,000. We're going to show or hear, listen to a few of our snoring contestants
as well. Adelaide's best snorer.
And we're going to do that every day this week and pick the winner on Friday for the $4,000 temper mattress.
All right, 24 and sunny in Adelaide today. How nice. Roo and Dits here on Triple M.
Roo and Dits, top three things you need to know.
Police are having a little bit of a blitz this week, Dits, on people who use their mobile phones while driving in cars.
Right.
So a 5-day blitz will be happening. Last time they did this last year, they got about 500 people that were caught using their phones incorrectly whilst behind a wheel. So
if you're
out there and you're a phone user, you are going to be targeted this week.
Well, they can't do any more than actually tell us that they're targeting us.
Yes.
So if you get caught...
Speed camera ahead.
Yeah. How much help do you want?
So look out. The police are on the job this week.
Yeah, all right. Hey, the other thing's making news. Now, with your bins, Roo, are you very good at, you know, your three different bins and putting the right things in?
I think we would pass the test as much as we can.
All right. Yeah. There's a Victorian plan to have 6 bins.
What?
6 bins they want.
Come on.
Serious. There's a mob called Infrastructure Victoria, so they wield some power. What they want, here are the categories, right? Paper, glass, organics, plastic, metal, and other. Now, what do we need a metal bin? What do you put out? Would that mean cans or
that
things?
That might be, probably cans, I suppose, or harder rubbish maybe. But so they're getting a little bit more pointed toward what goes in the actual, say, recycle bin.
Yeah, they're splitting them up into categories.
What saves them doing a little bit of work at the end.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Because everyone you put everything in that bloody yellow bin, don't you? I'm not even sure whether I put the right things in there. In fact, I think I know I don't after a bit of information.
Well, maybe that's why we need these different categories.
That's
and
right.
Then you'll know. You'll know exactly.
6 bins. Six Every bins. House is in.
My house isn't big enough. Where am I going to keep my bins?
Well, how would it work in units and stuff like that?
Oh, God. It's
a bit
impractical.
You see how many bins they have out in front of apartments.
Well, it would mean bins would be a lot smaller, I suppose. If you divide it up into those categories, you're not going to need as big a bin, are you?
No. Your rubbish bin would stay the same and the others probably smaller.
Yeah. Hey, AC/DC fans, of which there are millions and millions worldwide, and, of course, Triple M listeners are big, big AC/DC fans. How's this? The March long weekend next year, on March the 1st, there's a highway in Perth. They're going to shut down for 10 hours and celebrate the life of Bon Scott. It'll be his 40th anniversary, or the 40th anniversary of his passing, and they're going to call it the Highway to Hell. So,
he's huge, there's no doubt about it.
So there you go. So all you AC/DC fans, fly to Perth for the weekend and have a great time.
That could be a huge weekend over there in WA.
Mm. All right, that's what's making news. Roo and Dits on Triple M.
What a goal!
Roo and Dits overnight sports.
Adelaide 36ers versus Cairns Taipans this Friday at Entertainment Centre. Tickets at Ticket Tech.
I just heard about the 36ers. They had a great win. They beat Brisbane 104-98. Roo, at their brand new home ground of the Entertainment Centre.
Yeah, nearly only 60 people off the record crowd, so a good result for them.
Yeah.
And everyone said it was a great night, didn't they?
Yeah, good. Adelaide United winless. They lost to Melbourne City 2-1 yesterday. Now, they play them again Wednesday night in the FFA Cup final. So they've got a few injuries, Adelaide United. Hey, what about the Redbacks? Haven't they bounced back? Have you been following this game?
Yeah, I have. At Stumps, Queensland now 5 for 102. They need another 48 runs to get the points, but we fought back late. We took, 5 for 7 or something.
Yeah.
Off 15 balls, and Nick Winter was
the way.
Destroyer with the ball, 3 for 23. Mm. So we are back in the game here. Hopefully, we can pull off a big win.
Yeah, that'd be great. Michael Checker has stood down as Wallabies coach after we were thrashed against England in the World Cup over there in Japan.
Now, the Poms are coached by Eddie Jones, is that right?
Aussie,
and Neil Craig's, Crows' former coach, is working with him.
So what does he do? Is he the fitness man?
Well, I suppose he is, yeah. Well,
good on him.
Yeah, so interesting.
Right, huge weekend at the races. Yes, yes, yes. Won the Everest and Murder Glace. The Japanese horse through took home the Caulfield Cup. There's a bit of a feeling that the overseas horses are going to be a bit strong in the spring carnival.
Yeah, they always are now, and they're chasing the money that we're putting up for grabs, so attracting the best horses from all over the world. But yeah, a little bit of controversy at the moment with world of horses. We'll talk about that a little bit more later on.
All right, now, you know the controversy last week with Bathurst. Scott McLaughlin and his team have been fined $250,000 and docked 200 points for breaching the rules.
$250,000 fine.
Now, that's
huge.
Now, the other thing is that Fabian Coulthard, who was the fellow that deliberately went slow to cause all the mayhem, he's been relegated to last in the event as well. But tell me this, Roo, if you get fined $250,000, that suggests that you've done something real wrong, a lot wrong.
I've never heard of a fine like that in a sport before. But what did Essendon get fined? Did they get fined, or the Crows get fined with the Tippett stuff? Were they big dollar?
Not 250,000, no. I don't think.
Gee whiz.
So that's pretty big, isn't it?
Yep.
All right.
Hopefully it's not a mistake.
No. That's our look at sport. All thanks to the Adelaide 36ers taking on the Cairns Taipans this Friday at the Entertainment Centre. You can get your tickets at Ticketek. Ruined It's on Triple M. Mm.
Not far away from Monday Talkback.
Ruined It's here on Triple M. Well, Roo, I went to the richest horse race in Australia. I went to the Everest on the weekend.
Yeah, what was it like
up there in Sydney? It was fantastic, but an eventful weekend. I went with the McGain boys, McGain Real Estate.
Yep.
So it was quite funny. There was 14 of us. And
14?
14 blokes. So the weekend trip. The weekend started with, we're on the plane and we're heading over, and the hostess came up to me and said, "Do you ever get mistaken for Scott Cam?"
So
I said, well, you know, it happens. But so, of course, all the boys thought that was pretty funny. So yeah, I was Scotty Cam there for
Scotty
a while.
Scotty Cam.
Yeah, so that was funny. Anyway, and then.
Did you milk it?
Only a little bit. Only a little bit.
Was she an oldie or a youngie?
She was an oldie. I said, just call me Scotty. Anyway, I knew I was staying in a good hotel when the boys said, right, you know, once you all check in, meet downstairs and we'll all have a beer. And they were playing all this great music, like a lot of old, you know, there was Bing Crosby and a bit of Elvis. And then my favourite song came on. I couldn't believe it, Roo. I'm sitting in the foyer.
Where the hell were you staying in an RSL or something?
Who would have thought that they'd be playing Connie Francis for me, Scotty Cam?
You weren't in an old folks home,
were you? No, I wasn't.
What sort of dive were you staying
in? It was a real trendy, magnificent hotel.
No, it was not trendy.
It was.
No, lipstick on your collar, I don't think.
I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. I was just sitting there having a quiet beer, listening.
You probably did nearly die the place you were staying at if you had that music on there.
So then, as happens on the first night, everyone gets a bit excited.
First night fever.
Everyone went out and we had this massive dinner. It was fantastic. And, of course, what happens on a boys' trip, and I won't name and shame, but one fella at 2 a.m. ended up in the foyer in his jocks, locked out of his room. One of them again, real estate boys, and sat there for 2 hours because there was no. He couldn't get back in. I don't know whether he doesn't even know himself whether he's tried to go to the toilet or something.
But oh, so
he's ended up in his. At least he had jocks on.
Yeah, well, I've had mates that got locked out without jocks on.
Yeah, correct. So anyway, and then two other blokes came back from the casino having had a late night out to find their
Macca
mate sitting there.
What are you doing?
So they had to let him back in. He was actually out in the street, not only in the foyer, sorry. He was sitting outside waiting to get back in. So how's his
outside form? The hotel?
Outside
in his jocks.
Yeah.
Isn't there a reception?
I've told you, honestly, if you want to sell a house, you've got to do it with these blokes
oh
at McGain because they're so sensible.
Don't they have a reception?
They really are. Anyway, the weekend finished with.
You're not answering that question.
What was that?
Don't they have a reception there?
Yeah, they did, but there was no one there. There was no night manager or anything. So you had a key to let yourself back in, but he'd left his key in his room, so he had to sit there and wait for one of us to get back.
Dodgy joint.
I was already back in my bed asleep, you see.
I heard you got bed sores. You're asleep most of the weekend. That's what I got told.
Yeah, I was sensible. And then yesterday coming home, just to finish an eventful weekend. Now, Roo, this is one of the funniest or weirdest things I've heard in travelling, but we went over Qantas, but we came back. Look, I don't want to mention the airlines. I don't want to be negative and bad.
You're allowed to.
They cop a bit of bad publicity.
The ones that won the premiership.
That's them.
The Tigers.
Anyway, of course, one of the lads at McGain's who booked all of this, we've all looked at him and said, why are we flying back with them?
Yeah.
Right? And I've never ever flown them before, but I thought, give them a go.
I have.
Give them a go. See what happens. Anyway, we get delayed three times at Sydney Airport.
Which is what you feel like after a big weekend. Oh, you just can't wait to get home and get to bed or get on the couch.
Three times they put the flight back. Only to then say, and they said, oh, there's an engineering problem, which is great. You'd love hearing that.
Yeah, but just before takeoff.
But they might have told a porky, because in the end they came on and said, look, can we have 20 volunteers to get off the flight? We're just a bit overbooked, right?
Overbooked?
Overbooked and overweight.
What do you mean overbooked?
I don't know. So they said, look, we'll offer you vouchers. And I didn't actually get to hear this announcement because I was sitting in the bar with the McGain blokes, because we thought, what's the point of going down there? They just keep delaying us. So we sat in the bar, but word filtered through that, does anyone want to get off the flight? They need volunteers, right? But we all wanted to get home, so we stayed.
So all the tight asses got off.
They all got off, and they got an $85 voucher for their trouble.
To get delayed in a couple of months.
So anyway, we get home. I've never, ever heard anything like this ever before. It was funny. We all laughed, actually. But we're sitting on the tarmac at Adelaide Airport, and a fella comes on in his work uniform. He gets on the loudspeaker and says, excuse me, everyone. Just got an announcement to make. None of your bags have come with you on this flight. We went, what?
Well, because of the weight problem.
I don't know. He said, yeah, something about weight. And I just looked at the bloke next to me and said, well, this is unbelievable. No one's luggage is on this flight.
So what happened?
He said, this is the next best bit. So this is at about, I don't know, 5 o'clock. He goes, half of your luggage will be on a flight arriving at 8 o'clock tonight. And the other half will be on a flight arriving at 10 o'clock tonight.
What if you come from the Riverland or Port Lincoln and you're driving home?
Bad luck. So, and when he talked about the weight restriction, I thought to myself, well, doesn't that make those next two flights way overweight as well with our luggage or not? But
depends
anyway.
How many people are on the plane, I suppose. Mm.
So that was a good end of the weekend.
So you haven't got your bags.
Yeah. Well, lucky I was all right. I only had carry-on luggage, but all of the people, they're just moaning and groaning. It was just incredible. It really was.
Wow.
So there you go. That was my weekend on the Everest in Sydney.
Good on you, Ditch, and you made it through all right. Monday Talkback's up next.
G'day, this is John Farmer.
Hello, Robert.
On Triple M's Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
Not really enough from argument, boys.
It's time for Monday Talkback.
Oh, the phones have lit up on this Monday morning, right?
Yes, let's have a listen to them. Who have we got on the first call?
Okay, boys, yo, Roo, g'day, Jits, Murray on the Murray.
G'day, Murray. How are you,
look, I was talking to Stir Fry up here on the river.
Stir Fry?
Who's Stir Fry? Why do you call him that?
Well, he's so fat he has to iron his shirts on a walk.
Oh, righto.
But anyway, Stir Fry reckons he's heard a rumour that you two are having a challenge to play table tennis.
Well,
there was a discussion last week.
Dit's got a bit.
You going ahead with that or what?
We'll just let Dit's get back on track after the Everest, and then we'll see if he's confident.
I'm going
is
into
still
training.
Up.
Going into training, Muzz.
Well, anyway, Stir Fry's come up with this idea. Have you blokes ever been overseas for a broadcast?
Sort of.
You know, doing a live broadcast. He reckons you could play the table tennis challenge overseas in an Asian country.
Right.
And you know Denise Drysdale.
Right.
You get her to go over and sort of be the ambassador and the referee. And right. Then you could really promote it because then it would be Ding Dong in Hong Kong playing ping pong.
Right. We could do that. Yeah.
Good work, like Muzz.
You like that one, Muzz, don't you? All right. Thanks for calling
you, Muzz. Hello, good morning. Who's our next caller?
Hang on. Hello. Excuse me. Hello.
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 Yes.
Hello.
Yeah.
It's Wally from Woodford.
Wally, you could go in our greatest best snoring competition here on Triple
M. That was my wife. She's still asleep. That's why I'm ringing up.
Right.
What's your wife's name, Wally?
Her name's Wilma.
Wilma.
She sleeps too much and she's too loud. Will I hang on for a prize?
Yeah, hang on. Yeah,
hang
He's
on.
He's coming up, just before 8 o'clock, we're going to do our snoring competition. And, Roo, someone can win. Yeah, go on.
Can I go in the Roomba?
Yeah, you can do anything. Wally,
yeah, that's just after seven.
I was once a statsman down at Woodville West Torrens in the 30s.
Right. Oh, statsman. Yeah, that was at just after six.
Will I hang on for a prize?
Yeah, if you want. Yep.
Yep, Alice will deal with you.
We'll put you on hold, Wally, and good luck with the snoring competition. You can win a $4,000 mattress from Harvey Norman.
Look forward to that. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
Hello, how you going?
Who's that?
It's Willow.
Willow's John Williamson. Back again, 3 weeks in a row.
And I just rang up to see the great old airline, the great big red flying kangaroo go New York to Sydney in one trip, you know.
Yeah, 19 hours, yeah.
Koshy was on it.
A long way since Burke and Wills, you know, went from Melbourne and trekked up to the Gulf of Carpentaria.
It is a long time. 352.
Yeah. Long way. Yeah. I don't know whether you blokes have ever been up the Oodnadatta track.
Oodnadatta?
Yeah, I have.
617 kilometres of unsealed road. We've come a long way, haven't we?
Well, we have, John.
Well, what do you blokes think of how we eat the symbol of the greatest airline in the world?
Oh, the kangaroo.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's all right, isn't it?
You're going to survive.
Well, there's a United Arab Emirates. It's a charter airline called the Dolphin Airlines.
Right.
Where they serve that up.
Yeah. No, that's going to be fun.
You can't eat a dolphin.
Have you ever tried kangaroo, boys?
Yeah. Love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I find the pouch a bit chewy.
No. So, yeah. No.
Right. All right, John.
Come on, John.
Thanks, John. We've got time for one more call. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Who's that?
It's Helen from Hindley Street.
Hello, Helen. How are you?
I heard you were in Sydney, Christopher.
I was. I went to the races, Helen, yeah, on the weekend.
I heard you were going after the opening of the Bottoms Up Club.
No, I didn't get there, actually. Yes. No. We talked about that last week. That was the
Didn't you get there?
No, the nude bar up there in Sydney. I didn't quite get there, no. No, well, Helen, where would I have kept my wallet and my money, you know?
Well, I heard with your backside, Christopher, it needed its own ticket to get
it. Please. That's a bit rude, Helen.
I've had one of the McGain boys come in for some hypertension and relaxation.
Have you? Right.
They're nice lads from McGain Relaxation.
They are nice lads, they are.
But that's not why I'm ringing.
Okay, why are you ringing, Helen?
I just want to thank you, Christopher, for the tip you gave me.
Oh.
Which tip was that?
I said, you have a tip for the weekend for the Everest? And you looked at me and you went, yes. Yes, yes.
Right, thanks for calling. Always a treat when you call in, Helen. Thank you. Can we move on? Ruined it on Triple M. Roo, we've just come out of one of the biggest weekends of racing. The Everest is the richest race here in Australia. We've also had the Caulfield Cup, yeah, over the weekend. And it's fair to say you and I love our horse racing each and every weekend.
I get right into it this time of year, absolutely, like a lot of people do. Mm. And there's a big story on Thursday night.
Yep, you and I have owned racehorses together. I know you own several with other people as well. I'm not saying we're big owners, but we dabble in it. We like it, we enjoy it. And I've probably never, ever put any thought into what happens to the horse once it's no longer going to race anymore.
Yeah, usually they find a home for them. The ones that I've been involved with over at Port Lincoln or whatever, they usually say, you know, I've got someone who wants to take the horse, and you say, yeah,
yep,
absolutely fantastic.
Yep, all right. 7:30 report on the ABC put this to air last Thursday night.
Forced to slaughter. Lashed. With rage and fury. Frantic and disoriented, subjected to electric shocks.
Fair to say it was a report that shocked all of us and none of us want to see.
No.
And then we heard from a jockey. This is Laura Cheshire, who was absolutely shocked that her favourite racehorse that she'd actually ridden in races was one of these horses sent to die.
This is not how things should be in our industry. This is not the way that we treat our horses when they're racehorses.
Roo, I turned up at Randwick on the weekend for the Everest and there were thousands of protesters outside.
Thousands?
A large number.
Yep.
Very, very vocal, very in your face, very angry and outraged. And they were having a real crack at the crowd, at people like me that were filing through the gates. And they were saying things like, horses will die today as a result of you enjoying your pastime and your passion, and so on the message went. Let's hear, this is the start of Channel 7's coverage on the weekend. Bruce McAvaney made a statement.
We do arrive at Caulfield and Randwick today at a critical time for the entire racing industry. Thursday night's ABC expose of what happens to some retired racehorses calls for immediate action. It was horrifying to watch. As a small-time owner, it made me feel ashamed. And not to have known is not good enough. There has to be a way we all think going forward. The nurturing of our racehorses in retirement is just as important as the care and training given to a yearling or a four-year-old champion. It's a complex issue, that must be addressed as a priority. It's going to require a unified approach nationally across all levels of the racing industry. Horse racing can be the very best of sports, a magnificent spectacle where the thoroughbred, the strapper, the jockey, the trainer, and the owner unite in a thrilling performance, as we'll see here today at Randwick and also at Caulfield. So for the sake of the future, we need to shine a spotlight on whatever might be lurking in the shadows and take action right now.
So many angles to this story, Rhea. We know also that the most infamous story over the last 12 months has been that of Darren Weir.
Yep.
Who right now is in a lot of trouble.
Well, he's actually just had charges a couple of weeks ago for animal cruelty.
That's right. So there's no doubt that the horse racing industry has to look at this and that they've made many, many mistakes along the way. Some people are guilty and there are other people that have played no part in this whatsoever and didn't even realise it was happening. So
yep.
Is there ignorance? Is there naivety at offence? I don't know. I think maybe
well,
you should
up
know
up till now, maybe. Yeah. As Bruce said, it's we need to have a look at it and it needs to be Australia-wide and they need to actually take a stance on it because there's plenty of money in the game and they need to make sure that the from breeding right through to the end of the horse's life that it's done in a, you know, responsible, humane fashion.
Yeah. One thing I thought, Rue, now in that report, 4,000 horses were put to death. And we can draw a comparison to remember the issue about live exports. We saw that on the ABC within the last year as well about emaciated animals on ships, crowded, overcrowding, you know, standing in their own urine and feces, and we've seen those bad images. So it's a similar story in a way as to how these animals are being treated.
Well, they did the greyhounds a couple of years ago.
Did
the shut the New South Wales racing greyhound industry
right.
down?
Yeah,
complete.
Tried
after
to.
That.
Yeah. Well,
they did shut it, didn't they, for a while?
Yeah, but it's back and running now, isn't it? And the greyhound owners and trainers and the industry have had to clean up their act, and let's hope they have. I'm sure they have as a result. So maybe that's what is needed here right now. But, Rue, I thought to myself, now the animal activists have every right to say what they want to say, as we do as horse racing enthusiasts and lovers. You've got to find 4,000 homes for those horses, people willing to look after them, willing to feed them. And I raise that. Is that the way to look at it? Or do we say, well, we shouldn't be breeding as many horses as what we do? Because I think they would argue that as well, wouldn't they?
Yeah, or they should be cured appropriately, I suppose, in a humane fashion, like they do at every other abattoir around. And I'm sure they've got to be under strict regulations and have people checking. You would have thought, obviously not in the case where they showed the one on in the ABC report, but you'd think that they would have strict guidelines with that.
Yeah.
And maybe they have to be stricter. Maybe they have to be checked more.
Yeah. 133353, would you like to have your say on this? 133353. And just to finish this discussion, Rue, what about this lady? And Mel brought this to our attention, who works with us here, Mel the Button Pusher. There's a hotel, this is down in Tasmania, where a lady, Mel Bush, has released a statement. Mel, do you want to tell us about this story? What's she actually doing?
She actually is the operator of the Cascade, a famous hotel in Tassie, the Cascade Hotel. We would have had their beers.
It's a famous one, is it?
Yeah.
A big one.
Yeah. So it's a historic sort of pub. And she's the operator there. She doesn't even like the fact that they have a tab there where you can bet on horse racing. Mm. But, you know, she hasn't won that fight. But she's saying they're not going to broadcast the Melbourne Cup this November. And instead they're actually going to broadcast the 7:30 report from the ABC.
On Melbourne Cup Day.
Gee, that'll be a busy pub.
And she said if you agree with her and you want to come along, she's got a free glass of bubbles and you can go and join her, but they won't be putting the Melbourne Cup on the telly.
That is taking a stance, isn't it? I wonder how the owners of the pub feel about that. Well, they must be on board or they got no idea what's going on there. But an interesting one.
Yeah, give us a ring, 133353, if you'd like to have your say. Ruined It's on Triple M. Talking about the racing industry, Rue, not your reaction, our listeners' reaction to what happened over the last few days.
Let's go to Williamstown. G'day, Sue.
Hello, how are you?
What would you like to say, Sue?
I think that the program only really showed the tip of the iceberg.
Really?
After racing, yes, absolutely.
Why is that?
After racing, there's a small percentage of horses that are rehomed as show jumpers, eventers, dressage horses, pleasure horses. But the rest, yes, they are slaughtered. But it's not only those horses. It's actually the thousands and thousands of horses who never make it to the track that are also sent off to be slaughtered. Basically, they are overbred. So, there are many, many thoroughbreds that unfortunately are slaughtered. And, you know, the horrible term that's used is wastage.
So when you say overbred, you're saying that we're just breeding far too many horses?
Yes, everyone wants another Farlap or another well-famous racehorse. And so, they just really breed way too many.
All right, and thank you, Sue. Thanks for having your say. More calls in just a moment. 1-3-3-5-3. Ruined It's here on Triple M, taking your comments on the thoroughbred industry.
Let's go to Murray Bridge. G'day, Siobhan.
Hello, how are you?
I got your name right that time.
You did.
Not Cyban.
He's a fast learner.
He is. That's a change.
Hey, hey, hey. What would you like to say about the horse racing?
Well, I own 10 greyhounds.
Yep.
Yep.
And my husband used to, like, trained them, and, like, the what you have to do in the greyhounds, they should bring into the racehorsing industry. Like, what you have, we've rehomed every single one of our dogs. We get updates on how they're going in their new home and a new environment. Yeah, it just needs to be more.
A bit more coordinated approach to life after the track.
Siobhan, is it easy to find them a new home?
Yeah.
It'll be a bit easier with dogs and horses.
We've never had a problem.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well done.
Well, the system might be working there with the greyhounds. That's fantastic.
Let's go to Gawler. G'day, Mark.
How you doing, fellas?
What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I've got a good story. I owned a horse with a best mate, Grand Targe, a few years ago, and he retired about 4 years ago.
Yep.
And he was taken up at Cooper Petey, Anna Creek Station. And since then, at picnic race meetings, he's had 13 starts and 13 wins. So he is a much-loved retired horse. And the trainer of the horse at the time, he's only once had to humanely put down a horse. He finds homes for all of them. And that trainer always has about 40 horses in work, 40 horses, 20 in work and 20 in the paddock. So, some trainers obviously doing the right thing.
So there are some, the good operators out there as well.
Let's go to Hawthorne Dean. G'day, Audrey.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Good. What do you think?
Hey, I'm just picking up on a lady from Murray Bridge. It is way easier to rehome a greyhound than it is a hot breed like these thoroughbreds. Cost-wise, they really cost a lot of money to keep up, and you can't just chuck them out in a paddock and forget about them or chuck your kids on them. But they're not good for that. So, and this is just, like the other lady said, tip of the iceberg. I've known this has been going on for well over 30 years. I accidentally fell on that program, watched it the other day, and I was ashamed of being a human. But time and time again, we're watching in the media, all people's attitude towards animals is just disgusting. Another thing I'll point out is the Queen of England got done for mistreating her racehorses too.
Did she really?
Yes, she did. And many times, one of her big main state winners too.
Hmm.
There's a lot of white privilege around horse racing too, I think.
Yeah.
And
All right. Let's just cut out there.
Thank you, Audrey.
I think we're going to hear a lot more about this very quickly. I mean, the timing of the ABC doing this at the start of the spring racing carnival, Dits, is interesting to get the maximum
don't think it was a coincidence.
Media, and quite rightly so, I think. It'll be interesting to see what comes out, what the heads of all the racing clubs throughout Australia come out and say.
Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Lehman. I'm Anthony Lehman.
Yeah. Oh, he's back. He's back from Baghdad.
Tour of duty.
I am back, guys. You're right, Roo. I can tell you where I was now. I was in Baghdad. I was in Iraq. They said, guys, it's top secret. Don't tell anyone.
Right.
I went, really? Don't tell anyone? I got home, went on Google Maps, and there it is, right there. Massive base.
Lemo was here.
What the hell did you go there for?
What's the nightlife like in Baghdad?
Look, it's that base we're on is that is not a good base. I think I might have mentioned to you last week, they've got snakes and wild dogs and scorpions on the base, and it's dusty as. It's just shocking conditions on the base. And I've never seen, here's one for you, I've never seen so many signs telling me to wash my hands. And there's hand sanitizer everywhere because they don't want to get gastro.
Right.
Right? Because you get gastro on a base, you are stuffed. You wipe out the whole base. So if ISIS want to win this war, they shouldn't be sending in bombs. They should be sending in dodgy fish and undercooked chicken.
Rabbit terrine. You could get shot, but make sure you wash your hands.
Wash your hands. You don't want to be. You can't fight a war sitting on the loo, Dits.
No.
So you said it was the worst place you've been to. How long do our servicemen spend there at one time?
6 months.
6 months.
6 months. Yeah.
And is that it, or do they come home for a rest and then go back again?
No, they'll have it in the middle of that 6 months. They'll get 2 weeks off. And they'll either come home or they'll go to Europe for a couple of weeks, and then they're back for the last 3 months. Yeah. But 6 months is a long time there, I can tell you. And it's just a dusty, miserable joint. But they, you know what? They don't complain, and they're doing a bloody good job. I'll tell you a quick one for you. Weird quirk of the military. We're flying home. We're at Baghdad Airport, boarding an Army Hercules, right? And when you board a Hercules, you check your main luggage like a normal airport, right? And then you carry your hand luggage through the airport with you. And you put it through the x-ray machine at the airport, like you do when you get a domestic flight. I'm in the queue for the x-ray machine with my hand luggage. There are blokes in front of me putting through guns, ammo, hand grenades. I'm thinking, what are you looking for, guys?
Laptop, please.
Yeah, I get pulled over with my nail clippers. Not with these, mate. No. That is dangerous.
Right there. Oh, Limo. Oh. I'm not flying with Limo.
But the old Army Hercules, not a comfortable flight. And speaking of flying, guys, how's Qantas New York to Melbourne 19 hours?
Yeah.
How about that direct flight?
Yeah.
Or New York to Sydney, whatever it was, 19 hours, which is roughly how long it took Dits to get from Sydney to Adelaide on his Tiger flight.
Yeah, it's a try.
Except on the Qantas flight, everyone arrived with their bags, Dits.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, minor detail. They got me home, but no luggage.
Hey, guys, I listen to the show regularly, as you know, 6 o'clock every morning. That's when I start. And you reminded me this morning that Ditz's favourite song is Connie Francis, Lipstick on My Collar, this one.
Yep.
Ripper, isn't it, Limo?
Yeah. And that was playing in your hotel on the weekend.
It was.
I'm with Roo here. You must have, on your flight over, did you somehow end up in a time machine?
Exactly.
Nah, it was a very hip happening hotel. I could be playing that sort of music. There.
Now, that Roo, that's not Ditz's favourite song.
Well, it's one of his favourites.
Well, it's number three. His second favourite song is this one.
Old grey mare, she ain't what she used to be. Ain't what she used to be. Ain't what she used to be.
And, of course, Ditz's favourite song. And Ditz loves this one because it coincided, it came out the same time as his 21st.
Come on, the roaring 20s.
Oh, Prohibition sucked back then, didn't it? Tough to have a good 21st.
See, when they started talking in movies, I thought, oh, where's this going to go?
or the talkies, as you used to call them.
That's right.
All right, Limo, good to have you back, mate. We'll catch up with you Thursday.
Good on you guys.
See you, mate.
Ladies, Ruin Dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Oh, it's a special edition today, Ru. We've got a birthday girl.
An Angel's birthday.
Birthday girl in our midst.
God.
Ange.
Hello.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Do we say how old or is that rude to
ask?
Oh,
you can.
Is it a big one?
47.
47.
Oh,
good.
I'm trying.
If
I don't say the number, it doesn't hurt as much.
No. What are you doing today? Anything?
Oh, God, no. Working. And I forgot it was my birthday today. So my diary, and I booked
what do you
all
mean
these
you
appointments in.
No,
well, I forgot when I was booking my diary. So it's full.
Right.
I'm going to get a lunch break.
Yeah, you'd be right.
Oh, will Mr. South Australia take you out for dinner or?
Oh, you're right. No.
Nothing.
No. Oh, I'm going to have family dinner on the weekend.
Okay.
Somewhere, yeah.
So just to remind, if you haven't joined us for a while, Ange is married to The Package. That's his nickname at the footy club, Roo. Mr. South Australia. How many times did he win?
Twice.
Two-time Mr. Yeah, South Australia. Alice is dying in the background there. Alice the Wag, good morning.
So sorry. Hay fever is so bad. Good morning.
And we've got Batesy from
Hello.
Our sales team. How are you, Batesy?
Good.
Now, I went to the Everest to the races over the weekend, and there was just a sea of females beautifully dressed up, and they'd gone to a lot of effort. Can I tell you, though, and this is probably more your age group, Alice, the number of girls that spent all day holding their dress down as they walked, one hand either side at the bottom because it was so short and just no material, and then tucking their boobs back in, and I thought, can one of you girls just buy a dress that actually fits you? And that's actually got a bit more material on it. What is this obsession with, can I show as much as I've got and wear as little as possible?
Do you think it's ironic that it was always when you were looking at them that they were doing that?
They seem to do it right in front of me.
Who's this old mate perving on me? So, oh, crap, I better pull my dress down because he's just oogling me.
No, but
it was 28, wasn't it, too?
It was 28 degrees. But walking in, though, Alice, people in front of me, I would see six girls in a group holding their dresses as they walked. Now,
yeah, it's really hard to walk in high heels. Plus, when you walk with a dress, and if you've got a bit of a booty or something, the dress rides up as you walk.
Correct.
So
what is the point?
Also, do you just not want girls to wear tight dresses? Because then if that happened, you'd be like, what is it with girls never wearing tight dresses anymore?
Why would you have to walk along holding, so they've got a handbag they're trying to hold
Raffin
as well.
Raffin Nadal.
They've got two.
Doing the adjusting.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
It's just one of those life things that you've just, it's like you guys adjusting your jocks. Like, you just have to do it.
But we don't do it 1,000 times a day.
I disagree.
Some of you do.
Not
do
the whole
they?
Time.
Yes.
All right, Batesy, what is this obsession with this fashion?
Because it's about making sure you look good on Instagram.
Oh,
but then
come on,
when
Batesy.
You're walking, going from A to B, it's just a little bit uncomfortable. Sitting down, standing up, bending over, even trying to go to the toilet and getting the zips up and everything back in place, it's a drama. It's just a daily struggle for us.
I really
life is
feel
so
for
hard.
Yeah. Ange, you are the older, more mature
person. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I think the idea is just when you're standing still, you look good.
So don't move.
Don't breathe. And also, like, so when you're getting ready in front of the mirror, like, you're just standing still. So everything looks good, it's in place. And so sometimes you don't realise until you start walking that things start riding up and too tight. But now that I'm of a mature age, I do try not to wear things that are annoying. I'd prefer a little bit of comfort.
So youngies obviously do put Instagram and looks before comfort.
Yeah, but also a lot of the time you don't realise how uncomfortable it is, because when you're buying a dress, how often do you walk laps of the shop?
Yeah.
Like sometimes when I buy a dress, I'll do a sit test, because
you
if you sit down, it can...
A sit test.
Yeah.
No, you have to, because if you're spending a whole night at an event sitting down and when you sit down, it like gapes where your boobs are, then you're flashing everyone the whole night.
Yeah.
So that's very common to do a sit test, but I've never thought to do a walking test.
Right.
But it is smart to do.
Yeah.
Hell. Yeah. Who would have thought, Ruben, I might need to walk in this? Who would have thought? Yeah, that's you. All right, thanks, Angels.
Thank you.
Triple M. On Ruined Dits for Breakfast. It's time to talk entertainment.
That's entertainment.
With Peter Ford.
Good morning, Peter Ford. Tell us about this massive AC/DC celebration that's, coming up in March of next year.
Yeah, this is going to be huge. They have the Perth Festival, which is an arts festival. It's pretty sort of arty and you know, elitist kind of stuff. But what they've decided to do is the 40th anniversary next year of Bon Scott's death, they're actually going to close the Canning Highway, which is pretty major, and they're going to turn it, for, I think it's 6 kilometres, into the Highway from Hell, and they're going to have a street festival that's going to overtake the whole highway with live performances. Performances, a parade, celebrating Bon Scott particularly, but AC/DC more generally. I mean, you know you're important when they're willing to close a highway in honour of you. I mean, that's pretty massive, and I reckon that'll really just take off.
There'll be people from all over the world going to that.
You're right, because a lot of people, a lot of the real diehards, they still turn up every day at Fremantle Cemetery to visit his grave. It's a huge thing to do.
Well, he was sensational, no doubt about it. That'll be a big one. Tell us about Kate Ritchie. She's got an AVO against her husband, Stuart Webb.
Yeah, this is pretty massive too. And at the weekend, she was in Brisbane for the Radio Awards. She looked $1 million. She was up there giving out awards and collecting awards. And so you probably would never have known. And then late yesterday, the story, you know, became public that in fact there's now an AVO out against her husband, Stuart Webb, who's a former NRL player. He's actually got some other problems up his sleeve as well, because he's already facing charges of drink driving whilst on a suspended licence. So he's got big troubles. But what we don't know about this AVO, we know there was an incident that took place last Thursday in Sydney at the home, the marital home. But with an AVO, we don't know whether she actually wants this. The cops have filed for it and they've got it. So now it goes to court Thursday. But Kate, you know, obviously has been in the media game all her life. She knows how it works, and she may not have wanted it, but the cops may have heard things and seen things and thought, no, we are applying for this on your behalf, whether you want it or not. So more of that will become apparent on Thursday.
Tell us about Daryl Summers. What's he been up to?
Well, yeah, Daryl, they had a big reunion yesterday in Melbourne for Channel 9. A lot of old-timers were there, people going way, way back in time. 170 people turned up at this pub in Hawthorne, and the word came through, Daryl's picking up the tab. So he picked up the whole tab for the whole day for 170 people to, wow. And he wasn't even there. He was actually, he's doing an amateur theatre production in Canberra, so he couldn't be there, but I reckon that would easily have come to have 10 grand plus.
Right, doing pretty well, Daryl. What happened, what about Anthony Kalia? What's he doing with the Melbourne Cup?
Well, he's booked to do the national anthem on Cup Day, and as a result of that 7:30 report the other night, which was hideous, I mean, whether it's a true reflection of the industry or not is what we should be looking at, but no one can say what went to where wasn't absolutely, you know, you make you want to throw up. But he's decided to donate his fee for the Melbourne Cup Day to a suitable equine welfare charity.
Yeah. Now, good on him. Well done.
Yeah, I've asked him to give me the name of that charity because I want to let them know that they've got a check coming, but he won't give me that name as yet, but I'll keep on him. I'm not going to let that go.
All right. Yeah. And we think that Taylor Swift has pulled out as well, hasn't she, of performing. Because of, I think, pressure online about what's been happening. So,
well, they're going to really have a lot of trouble, I think, moving forward, getting anyone to perform at these race days because there's just too much blowback.
Yeah.
People are just going to think, oh, it's not worth it. Hey, boys, I've just got to tell you, massive story breaking in England with Prince Meghan and Harry.
Right.
The documentary is going to air at the moment. They are clearly very troubled, very unhappy people and admitting it. So you're going to hear a lot more about that in the next few hours.
Great stuff. Thanks so much, Peter Ford from the World of Entertainment. We'll do it all again tomorrow, Roo.
Catch you later, everyone. Have a great day.